Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. In the darkest corners of the human psyche, where fear and imagination intertwine, we bring forth tales that chill the bones and unsettle the soul. Tonight, we delve into a story that might just keep you away from your door come this Halloween. So, turn off the lights, wrap yourself in a blanket, and let the shadows dance as we embark on this harrowing journey. Golden leaves littered the cobbled streets of Dunbridge, dancing in the crisp autumn breeze. The air, laced with the scent of burning wood, carried with it the distant sound of children's laughter as they chased each other around the town square. In the heart of the town, the old brick cafe, Whistle and Brew, was abuzz with life, its windows fogging up from the warmth within. A motley group of friends, ranging from teens to those in their early 30s, sat huddled at a corner table, cups of cocoa and coffee cradling in their hands. Their voices ebbed and flowed, each contributing to the chatter. "Seriously, Mark," Rachel began, rolling her eyes, a playful smirk curving her lips. "You don't honestly believe in that old unending knock myth, do you?" Mark defended, "I don't, but come on. It's fun. Every town has its legends." Tom, the oldest of the group at 32, leaned back in his chair, fingers tapping rhythmically on his mug. "It's just a way to keep kids from going out too late on Halloween. Dunbridge's own version of the Boogeyman." The door to the cafe creaked open and a frigid gust swept in. Mrs. Thompson, a frail figure wrapped in a shawl, stepped inside. Her gray eyes, sharp as ever despite her age, observed the young group. Sensing an opportunity, Mark beckoned her over. "Mrs. Thompson, settle something for us. The unending knock, just a fairy tale, right?" The cafe grew quiet. Mrs. Thompson hesitated, and then with a sigh, she joined the group, setting her bag onto the table. "It's no fairy tale, dear." A hush settled over the table. The playful banter from moments ago was replaced with bated breaths. She continued, her voice quivering, "My Henry, my beloved husband. He laughed at the stories too." Her eyes, glistening with unshed tears, drifted to the past. One fateful Halloween night, the knock came. Like everyone else, we ignored it, thinking it was some kids playing a prank. She gulped down the emotion rising in her throat. But then, curiosity got the better of him. He opened the door and was met with himself. Rachel's hand flew to her mouth, her face pale. "Oh, Mrs. Thompson." He was lifeless the next day. "Not a mark on him, just that sheer terror frozen on his face," Mrs. Thompson murmured, her voice barely above a whisper. The friends exchanged uneasy glances, the weight of her words pressing down on them. The atmosphere in the cafe had changed drastically. It was no longer filled with mirth and joviality. A cold dread hung in the air. Lydia, a young brunette with soft eyes, stood up, seeking to break the heavy silence. "Let me get you a drink, Mrs. Thompson." But as Lydia walked to the counter, she paused by the window, gazing out into the approaching twilight. Homes that once looked inviting were being transformed. Residents were nailing thick planks to their doors, barricading themselves in. Returning to the table, her voice trembling with unease, Lydia said, "The town. They're preparing. Everyone's fortifying their homes." Tom gulped, "It's just precautionary. Nothing's going to happen." Mrs. Thompson slowly rose, her hand clutching her shawl tightly. "Precautions or not, I've lived long enough in Dunbridge to know that every legend, no matter how absurd, is rooted in a grain of truth." And as the sun set, casting the town into shadows, the once vibrant autumn hues turned ominous, and the foreboding sense of another Halloween in Dunbridge settled in. A chill wind rustled through the trees, causing the barren branches to sway and scratch against the windows of the old house at the edge of Dunbridge. The residence, with its darkened wood and ivy-clad walls, had always appeared mysterious, and yet tonight, it seemed more alive than ever. Inside, Nathan and Lydia worked diligently, their living room transformed into a maze of pumpkins, faux cobwebs, and ghoulish decorations. Nathan, with a hint of mischief in his eyes, dangled a rubber spider near Lydia's face. She gave a small yelp, then laughed, swatting it away. "Why are we even doing this?" she asked, trying to mask her unease. "After what Mrs. Thompson said." Nathan shrugged, adjusting a scarecrow's hat. "It's just an old wives' tale, Lyd. We can't let some spooky story dictate how we live." Lydia bit her lip. Every echo, every distant creak of the floorboard made her jump. "It's not just a story, Nathan. Look at the town, the way people are boarding up their homes. They believe it." He wrapped an arm around her. "Hey, I promise, by tomorrow, we'll be laughing about how silly we were to get worked up over nothing." Hours passed, and as the grandfather clock in the hallway struck midnight, an eerie stillness settled over the house. The only sound was the soft ticking of the clock and the occasional rustling of trees outside. Lydia and Nathan had settled on the couch, a blanket draped over them, a classic horror film playing on the TV. Lydia nestled closer to Nathan, her eyes darting around the dimly lit room. Then it came, a slow, deliberate knock on the front door. Lydia's heart raced, her fingers gripping Nathan's arm. Nathan glanced at the clock and then at Lydia. It's probably just some kids, you know, trying to start Halloween early. But the knocking continued, each knock more insistent, more demanding. Lydia whispered, her voice trembling, "Please don't answer it." Nathan, ever the skeptic but sensing Lydia's genuine fear, nodded. Together, they tiptoed to the window, peering out into the moonlit yard. There was nothing but the swaying trees and the quiet of the night. No sign of anyone. They retreated to the safety of their living room, but the knocks persisted. Each thud against the wooden door echoed throughout the house, becoming the sinister soundtrack to their night. It was as if the door itself was begging to be opened, pleading with them to let whatever was outside in. The minutes felt like hours, the knocks unceasing. Despite their efforts to distract themselves with light conversation and the TV, neither Lydia nor Nathan could escape the foreboding feeling that enveloped them. The first hints of dawn peeked through the curtains, yet the knocking never wavered, never stopped. With the rising sun, however, the fear that had held them captive all night began to wane, replaced by exhaustion. Nathan and Lydia, drained and sleepless, looked at each other, united in their shared ordeal and the unspoken agreement that this would be a Halloween like no other in Dunbridge. Halloween night draped Dunbridge in a cloak of anticipation. Jack-o'-lanterns adorned each porch, their eerie glows casting flickering shadows. Children in costumes roamed the streets, their laughter a stark contrast to the tense expressions of the adults watching over them. While the night bore all the hallmarks of a typical Halloween, a sinister undercurrent pulsed through the town. Nathan and Lydia, having experienced the unrelenting knocks the night before, had decided to spend Halloween at Lydia's parents' house. They weren't the only ones taking precautions. Throughout Dunbridge, families gathered together, seeking safety in numbers. As evening progressed into night, whispers began circulating among the residents. Houses all over town echoed with the same relentless knocking that Nathan and Lydia had experienced. Silhouetted figures could be seen through frosted windows and peepholes, shadowy outlines of the residents, their features eerily familiar yet distorted. Mark, a bold and brash teenager, had heard the stories. He had been at the cafe when Mrs. Thompson shared her chilling tale. But tonight, he felt invincible, empowered by his youthful arrogance. When the knocks began at his house, he laughed them off, much to the dismay of his younger sister, Emily, who clung to him in fear. "Watch and learn, Em," Mark said, swaggering confidently to the door. Emily, wide-eyed, whispered desperately, "Don't, Mark." But Mark, determined to dispel the myth once and for all, flung the door open. The cool night air rushed in, and standing there, bathed in the ghostly light of the moon, was Mark, another Mark. This figure, an exact replica, stared back with cold, emotionless eyes. It was Mark's face, but devoid of warmth, of soul, of life. Mark's heart raced, his bravado evaporating instantly. Panic took hold as he tried to shut the door, but the doppelganger, eerily silent, resisted, its strength overwhelming. The two grappled, but Mark's fear paralyzed him, making him weak against his own mirrored image. With a forceful shove, the doppelganger sent Mark reeling backward. The door slammed shut, leaving Mark alone in the hallway, gasping for breath. Terrified, Mark retreated to his room, locking the door behind him. He didn't emerge, even as Emily called out to him, her voice quaking with worry. Morning light streamed through Dunbridge, painting the town in warm hues of gold. But the serenity of the dawn was shattered by a heart-wrenching scream. Emily, having mustered the courage to check on her brother, found Mark in his room. He lay there, lifeless. No marks, no signs of a struggle. Just that haunting, frozen look of sheer terror on his young face, a reflection of the nightmare he had faced the night before. In the days that followed Halloween, a heavy silence blanketed Dunbridge. The cheerful autumn hues that had once painted the town now seemed faded, subdued by the shadow of a fear that clung to every brick and cobblestone. Every rustling leaf, every creaking gate, was magnified, causing residents to jump in alarm. Night was the worst, for in the heart of the darkness, the knocking began. And it wasn't just isolated homes now. Up and down streets, through alleyways, and across town squares, the rhythmic thud echoed, unyielding and constant. It was a sound that was becoming all too familiar, a haunting metronome counting down the hours in a place gripped by paranoia. Children lay wide-eyed in their beds, their once comforting blankets now clutched in fear. Dogs, usually placid, now growled at unseen presences, and cats arched their backs, hissing into the night. The air was thick with tension, the entire town resembling a pot about to boil over. It was Mrs. Thompson who called for a town meeting. The community center, typically a place of celebrations and gatherings, was filled to the brim, the atmosphere heavy. Grief-stricken parents held onto their children tightly, the news of Mark's mysterious death still fresh in their minds. "We can't go on like this," cried out Mr. Henderson, a shop owner. "My family hasn't slept in days. We need to leave Dunbridge." But for many, Dunbridge wasn't just a town. It was home. Generations had lived and died here, and the very thought of leaving was inconceivable. "We can't just run," retorted Mrs. Martin, her voice strong and resolute. "We have to find out why this is happening." A murmur of agreement swept through the crowd. It was then that old Mr. Gallagher, the town's unofficial historian, stepped forward. "There might be something," he began, his voice trembling, "in the archives, a story passed down through generations." In the candle-lit basement of the town's library, a small group, including Mrs. Thompson, Nathan, Lydia, and a few others, gathered around Mr. Gallagher. With hands that shook slightly, he unveiled an old, weathered tome. Its pages, yellowed with age, told a tale of desperation and deceit. The town's founders, it seemed, had struck a deal with an entity, a dark force that promised Dunbridge prosperity and growth. But such promises came at a cost. Every Halloween, a soul from Dunbridge was to be offered in exchange for the town's continued well-being. The room was silent, save for the flickering of candles and the collective gasp of realization. The knocking wasn't just a legend or an old wives' tale. It was the manifestation of a dark debt, a soul claimed each year, the price the town paid for its prosperity. As the truth sunk in, the resolve grew stronger. The townsfolk knew they needed a plan, for the next Halloween was only a year away, and the unending knock would once again demand its due. The vibrancy of autumn had long faded, replaced by the starkness of winter. Snow blanketed Dunbridge, giving the town an ethereal appearance. Yet beneath this serene facade, turmoil festered. Nights were torturous. The darkness, thicker and more pervasive, seemed to amplify the knocking. Houses bore the brunt of the ceaseless assault, their once sturdy doors now scratched, scarred, and in some cases, nearly unhinged. The insistent rhythm echoed through the streets, a grim reminder of the town's cursed fate. Desperation took root. Mrs. Henderson, once a cheerful baker known for her delightful pastries, now sat on her porch every night, muttering to herself, eyes wild and unfocused. The Smiths, a young family with twin toddlers, abruptly packed up and fled one night, their house left eerily vacant, save for the haunting knocks that continued in their absence. Nathan and Lydia, who once found solace in each other's company, now seemed like strangers. Nathan, with dark circles under his eyes, had become obsessed with confronting the source of the knocks. "It's the only way," he'd whisper, staring intently at the door each night. Lydia, on the other hand, felt the weight of isolation, a growing chasm between her and Nathan. One fateful night, unable to bear the torment any longer, Nathan turned to Lydia, his eyes filled with a mix of determination and despair. "I have to face it, Lyd. I have to end this," he murmured. Lydia, her voice trembling, pleaded, "Nathan, no. Don't open that door." But Nathan, propelled by a desperate need for answers, opened the door. And there, illuminated by the pale moonlight, stood a mirror image of him. Yet, this doppelganger's eyes were devoid of warmth or recognition. Nathan's scream pierced the night, but then, just as quickly, everything went silent. Lydia, paralyzed with fear, could only watch as the door closed, leaving her in a chilling solitude. As days turned into weeks, more homes in Dunbridge became silent monuments to the terror that had unfolded within. The town, once bustling and alive, now seemed like a spectral landscape. Those few who remained could hear the muffled knocks emanating from abandoned homes, a haunting lullaby that served as a reminder of the impending doom that awaited them. The autumnal winds howled through the desolate streets of Dunbridge, signaling the arrival of yet another dreaded Halloween. Lydia, her face etched with weary lines, stood as a beacon for the remaining townsfolk. They had resolved to face this nightmarish ordeal together. Dunbridge's town hall, a grand old structure with an echoing hall and ornate woodwork, was their chosen fortress. Families, elderly and young ones alike gathered, candles in hand, forming a protective circle. The soft glow cast eerie shadows, but the warmth of being together provided a semblance of hope. Hours ticked by, and the familiar anxiety gripped every heart. Then, as if on cue, the knocking started. It was everywhere, from the main doors to the windows, even from beneath the floorboards. The rhythm was frenzied, erratic, and deafening. Some covered their ears, others clung to their loved ones, but all faces mirrored the same terror. Then, in the center of their circle, a chilling fog began to form. It swirled and danced, gradually taking shape. Emerging from it was an entity, a grotesque, distorted reflection of Dunbridge's residence, its form constantly shifting, representing their collective sins, regrets, and fears. The very sight of it was maddening, an embodiment of the town's shared guilt. Mrs. Thompson, her voice shaky but laced with defiance, began to sing an old hymn. Others joined in, their voices growing louder, drowning out the knocks. They sang of hope, unity, and redemption, challenging the monstrous manifestation before them. The entity seemed to falter, its form flickering, as if the unified voice of the town was causing it pain. But just as victory seemed within grasp, the entity let out a bone-chilling scream, making the walls of the town hall shudder. It then slowly dissipated, melting back into the cold fog from whence it came. As dawn's first light pierced the horizon, an eerie silence enveloped Dunbridge. The relentless knocking had ceased. The townsfolk, drained yet alive, looked around, taking in the survivors of another harrowing Halloween. Lydia, clutching the locket Nathan had given her, gazed at an empty chair beside her. Her heart ached with the weight of loss and longing. She then looked around the hall, realizing that while they had survived this night, the curse remained, hungering for the next Halloween. With a heavy heart, she pondered, how many more Halloweens do we have left? And so, the echoes of Dunbridge's unending knocks drift away into the silent night. But remember, listeners, every town has its tales, every door its secrets. Thank you for joining us on our scary stories. Sleep tight, and should you hear a knock at your door in the deep of the night, perhaps it's best left unanswered. Until next time, keep the lights on. This is our Scary Stories signing off for tonight.